The meeting to order. It's May 31st at 3:33 p.m. We start with the Pledge of Allegiance, so if you will join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So we have some old business to attend to. First up is the
roll call.
That is right. Thank you. My apologies. So for the benefit of the tape and everybody here, I'm Ellen Schmidt. I'm the chair of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. Would you go next, sir?
Sure. You want to work in now?
But Charlie Cooper, Public Defender.
Mark Mahan, Chief Judge.
Terrence Freeman, City Council.
Oops, sorry. Here. Brian Hughes, Mayor's Office, and Daniel Henry just showed up.
Way to make an entrance.
And I'm Steve Siegel, First Assistant State Attorney on behalf of State Attorney Nelson.
Thank you. So now we have everybody. This is great. You got introduced, but if you want to do it yourself, you can.
Turn on the back. Work right. Push.
Daniel Henry, True Commission.
Thank you. Okay, so now we can move.
I was saying to wait on
Not true. Listen to the tape, Daniel. Wow. Listen to the tape. It was cold. It was cold.
Facts.
So now we can move to the minutes. Thank you for helping me. Approval of March 30th, 2023 meeting minutes. Did anybody have a chance to review them? And if so, would somebody make a motion?
I'll move approval.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Mr. Sal, will you tell us a little bit about the training?
Yes, ma'am. The office recently did refresher training on both public records training course and the sexual harassment and discrimination refresher course. Both were attended by all in the office and yourself.
Thank you.
And it was very good training.
It was good training. I learned things I didn't know. Yeah, it was good. I was glad I was able to attend, and I accidentally got to see the office because I thought the training was at the IG's office, so I got a tour, and then dragged myself over here because I was in the wrong place. So for new business, we have two items, and one of them is a thought I had, which is an orientation process for new members of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. So I wanted to tell you what my thought was and get your feedback about whether the thought has merit and we should work on it, or whether the thought has no merit and we could just toss it aside. And so I was reflecting on my time on this committee, and my experience was I got plopped onto the committee by virtue of being the chair of the Ethics Commission. I'm not sure I even fully understood that it was an expectation when I became the chair of the Ethics Commission, right? I didn't know. And the very first meeting I attended was the meeting where we did Lisa Green's evaluation. And it was a lot to experience, and I didn't really understand a lot of the processes and what was happening, and I didn't feel very well prepared. And so I was thinking, how could I prevent that from happening to somebody else? And so I thought perhaps we could create an orientation packet or process. And maybe this is something like the people you represent, like maybe you got a better orientation, but I thought that if we could provide people with a copy of the ordinance, maybe the COJ IG org chart that's on the Inspector General website, a copy of the annual report, a list of all the committee members and who their delegates are, contact information for the IG team, because now I have it and I can connect with them and talk to them when I need to. I thought it would be helpful maybe to give them the last 2 years of minutes. They could read the minutes and see what, like, get a flavor for what happens in these meetings, and a blank copy of Mr. LaSalle's evaluation form so you have a sense of what it is you're going to be asked to do. And then the thought I got when you came in was a schedule of your chairman duties. I also didn't know that I was going to be the chair. Like, and it just happened because it goes in a cycle. And so would it be nice to know, like, the Ethics Commission person's going to be the chair for these 2 years, and then it's going to rotate to this, so the person who's new could anticipate when they were going to have the responsibility. and run for the hills. And then I thought somebody, but I'm not sure who, maybe it would be general counsel, but again, I'm not sure, could review the ordinance with that person, with the new member of the committee, somebody to go over it with them and kind of explain the relevant points or point out what's important there. I thought it might be nice for the person to have a tour of the office. I've now had two. And go over to the office, meet the staff. And I also thought it might be nice, like, some kind of less formal welcome and introduction to the other committee members, although I understand that would have to happen in a publicly noticed meeting. So those were my thoughts about, like, how to help a new person on the committee. And I wonder, like, when you were new, did you wish for something like that, or is it just me? Like, what?
I would say I wished I had something like that. It was a baptism by fire. Ironically, the first time I came to a Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee meeting, it's a long name.
Yeah, it is.
It was the same situation. We were evaluating Ms. Green for the first time. So I kind of went with where the consensus of the committee was, and then I kind of had to figure out what the on-the-job training would be as a member of the committee, particularly since we only really meet under the best of circumstances, really just once or twice, I mean, two or three times a year. So I agree with that. I think the last point you said, it may not be as realistic outside of an actual general meeting, but everything else I think would be helpful.
Okay. Anybody else?
You're probably the most tenured member.
I'd like to hear from either HR or general counsel on their recommendations for orientation.
I don't think we have anybody here from general counsel.
Right.
So I am Diane Lager, Employee Services and Most Community Outreach. I'm in agreement with Mr. Henry.
Okay, and I have, now I have a relationship with Sean Granite. I've talked to him a bunch of times. I can certainly ask for his input about the appropriateness of creating such a packet, and some of the responsibility for making the packet will probably fall on my colleagues in the IG's office. I'm sorry, Christine, but to, like, create a packet, and then I can ask Sean about who would do the review of the ordinance if we adopt that. Thoughts?
Madam Chair, I have a question. Yes, so you say it rotates. When you all are serving, is it 4-year terms, 2 years?
So
I know my position rotates, I would imagine, every council president, so we're not in the discussion. So it's really looking at this list, two people that are up for being a chair. Am I understanding this properly?
It rotates through all the roles. So if I understand it correctly, and the if is a giant if, and Christina's whispering good words to me, if I understand it correctly, the Ethics Commission chair, whoever that person is the chair of this committee for 2 years.
Or their designee.
Which would be a nice thing if I had known that back in the day, but I did not. So, yes, I could designate someone else to come in my place, but the person who is this role will have it for 2 years, and I've been doing it now for like 5 months, 6 months. So I will be termed out of the Ethics Commission in December, and so we'll have a new chair, and that person will be the chair for another, like,
but that person
months.
Will have served on the Ethics Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They'll come from the Ethics Commission. And then when my turn is over, I didn't pay any attention who's next, but
it's technically.
Oh, Daniel. So the person who's the chair of the true commission will be next, and so on, and it just rotates through all our roles.
And it's prescribed within the ordinance code.
Right.
Yes.
And so,
sorry, I stole your thunder.
No, it's all very clearly articulated in ordinance, which is available online.
Correct.
I brought a copy.
Correct. And so, where I was going with it is I don't believe anyone sits in any. We're always grateful for volunteers to come forward, but they then go through the rules process. They go through our council, and then they're confirmed. And so, I hear what you're saying, and I'm tracking with you. But how many other members, per se, in the true commission would be aware that they potentially would one day sit in this seat? How many other members on the ethics commission? I'm thinking more along the lines of, is this something that is done at that level?
Oh.
Yeah.
As opposed to waiting until they get here, just educating the group as a whole of the responsibilities that might fall in their underneath their purview one day if they were to aspire to be a chair.
Yes.
I know I'm going to bring that up if I'm on rules next year, if I'm involved with that process, that will be something that I consider and asking questions and saying, are you aware of, and kind of leading them down the path of what could be coming.
So if I understand you correctly, your thought is there's merit in creating this tool, but perhaps the responsibility is on the person in this chair to let the other members of their board or commission know about it and pass the packet on, or?
I'll say this loosely, and then maybe Brian can clean it up, but I know for me, when I first came into being a board member back in 2006, I took it upon myself to research and to learn as much as I could and to go watch things. I'm not going to assume that everyone else is going to do that. So I do see merit in what you're saying. I would defer to HR or someone else, but is it redundant? Like, is it a part of our process already when they go through our research department? I know I'm going through it with one individual where they were catching any types of conflicts, and then they were, are you aware that this role is going to be required to do this? Like, could that not be a part of or added to the conversation that's had? I know I'm going to add it if I'm on rules next year, making sure that people are fully aware when they're going on a true commission, which you may not know that you're sitting in a seat of judgment, you know, if anything arises and to a certain level. But, Brian, I don't know what I'm trying to say clearly, but.
Well, I was just going to, it might be related or not. I was just going to say there are obviously different seats for different reasons. So the chief judge, myself, and you, council president, won't be here at the next meeting, I don't believe. And in each of our respective roles, we know, well, I don't, but you guys know who's coming next. So the opportunity, and for those, I assume at the True Commission, you know who the next chair will be, or likely next chair will be, similar for you. So there's an opportunity for the individual on this committee to take upon themselves the responsibility to encourage a next person to come to one of these meetings before the overturn or the flip or whatever. And then I think staff is, I won't commit your staff needs, but I assume you could handle the creation of an orientation packet. You're going to have at least three that would be, would probably be some insight they could glean from it. I will leave it to individuals to seek. I would leave it out to individuals to seek out OGC. I'm not a lawyer, but ordinance isn't that difficult to read. So, I understand the role of this committee and my role in it. So the orientation seems good. I think each member ought to take it upon themselves when they have the opportunity to encourage the likely next in line to at least explore with Mr. LaSalle and his staff what's coming up and what role they might need to play.
Yeah. I would agree with that in the sense from the perspective of the fact that between me and the chair were the only two that would theoretically go through a rules type confirmation. So in that sense, it's kind of incumbent on us to kind of work with whoever our commission members are to ensure that there's some kind of continuity. On the best of circumstances, it works out. I know on mine, the previous chair that was chair of the True Commission never came to any of the meetings, from my understanding, so I kind of had to figure it out on my own. But the packet, whatever was available at the time, was a huge resource because I did go through the previous minutes to kind of get a sense in terms of what was going to be in front of me when I eventually landed in this chair. But ultimately, I think if we have something in the sense of at least the very basics about the, like you said, the past evaluations, the minutes, and the charter language, I think that would be very helpful. I think sometimes there may be a confusion, and we kind of went through this when we were kind of dealing with the replacements that we've had to unfortunately make as part of this commission in terms of what the commission's role is, in terms of where that line is. Sometimes it's not as intuitive when you read the language. You kind of have to learn that, unfortunately, by fire. But I think that's important so that way people understand ultimately that they're here really to evaluate the IG, but the IG has to do the job. And we're not here on a sense of, like, dealing with the day-to-day management of what their office is going to do.
Madam Chairman, if I may, what I'll propose is all the things you suggested minus before the consultation with the general counsel. We will put together a packet that reflects what you've identified. We'll submit it to all the old and newly identified members of this committee, and then those who don't need it can circular can it or circular e-file it, and then the rest have it for their reference. We can do that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I know I would have appreciated it back when I was new. Now I'm old. Thank you. And I don't think it's something that needs to be voted on, but I will follow up with Sean and ask him about review of the ordinance. To your point, everybody should be able to read it, but I don't know. It's nuanced, and I find, like, when I look at it, sometimes I discover things I didn't really pay attention to before or didn't know. Do you agree it's not something to vote on? It's just a thing we can do, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't, since we're not voting, we don't need public comments, and I don't know that we have any public.
I would suggest that the Inspector General prepare the packet, submit it to Mr. Granite for review, just make sure sort of things.
Okay, that's a good idea. And I can give you my list if you like. You wrote them down. Thank you very much. So next up, we're going to talk about the evaluation of the Inspector General. And so I see two possible paths forward today. I want to catch you up on what's been going on since our last meeting and figure out what we're going to do. So one thing we can do is proceed with the evaluation. Mr. LaSalle sent it to us. We have his comments and all is here. The other thing we could do is just kind of reflect on where we were at the last meeting. I was talking about the possibility of creating additional parameters to the evaluation, and we talked about it at the meeting, and you had some thoughts and suggestions about, I'm going to use the word, like, parity with other people who are in similar positions in the city, and you as a committee authorized me to explore with HR, with Employee Services, what can we do? One of the things I had suggested was the possibility of one member of the committee, well, really two members of the committee, going to meet with the staff, but not together, so it wouldn't be a publicly noticed meeting, but just a conversation between members of the staff, and perhaps we would talk to peers. So I did have the opportunity to talk to Diane about that. I also had the opportunity to talk to Sean about that, and then, to your point, I read the ordinance. So this is what I learned. The ordinance does give the Selection and Retention Committee broad authority regarding the evaluation. It says that we evaluate the IG based on criteria established by the committee. So we can select whatever criteria that we wish to do. And I did think it was important to, at a minimum, interview the staff, and not being sure how things would play out today, if you'd want to proceed with the evaluation or not proceed with the evaluation, I did interview the staff. So I went over to the office last week. Was it Thursday? And I spent several hours at the office, and I talked to all the staff people, and I reviewed with, I think I very loosely talked to you about the questions I was going to ask, and then I more specifically talked to Sean about the questions I was going to ask, and they were very broad and simple questions. And so I asked the staff, what is going well under Mr. LaSalle's leadership? Is there anything you would like to see improved or changed under Mr. LaSalle's leadership? And is there anything you'd like, anything else you wanted to share about your work in the office? And then I shared the questions with the staff before I went. So everybody knew I was coming, and everybody knew what I was going to ask them. And I had a great reception and great conversations with everybody. I saw every person in the office except Matt and one person who was not in the office that day. So I did interview everybody. And so I can definitely give you a summary of what I learned.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
That's what I'm going to do. So on the question, what is going well? Lots of positive comments from the staff. Some of them you might be able to infer from the letter that we received from the staff a few months ago. So some of the things I heard is that Matt is very accessible and approachable, that the office is very collaborative. They find Matt's leadership style empowering. They believe he fosters independence. And what I understood that to mean was, at where I work at Baptist, we talk about working to the top of your license. And so that's how I interpreted it, that they're saying that they're empowered to work to their full potential. They work independently. Multiple people felt that they had better role clarity under Matt's leadership than they did previously. They perceived him as a team builder. They talked about the improved morale, which, again, you guys know about from the letter. They talked about having a positive, healthy work environment. Like I said, they felt valued. They felt communication is open. I know I already said approachable, but it came out in different ways when they were talking. They felt that work is delegated appropriately, and they liked Matt's proactive approach to outreach and case finding. So that's kind of a summary of all the positive comments that I heard. I tried to make a word cloud, but I don't know how. So I had a big vision for what I was going to share, but couldn't make it happen. So change, asking about things that they would change. Got very little comments. Most people felt pretty satisfied and did not suggest anything that they would change. One theme that came up was there's some perceived barriers to hiring. It came up in two different ways. One was under this comment, what would they change? And another came under the other comments people wanted to make, but they're both on the same thing, which is hybrid work environment. And so some people who were talking about the barriers to hiring were saying that in other places, people in similar roles are allowed to work remotely. And that may be a reason why some people don't want to come work. And then some people in the office would like the opportunity to work remotely. And I don't even know if that's within Matt's control. I don't even know if the city allows it. But that was a comment that was made. I bet Brian knows.
While I would certainly welcome any inspector general's input while I've been CAO about an argument or a suggestion that there might be ways, there are very clear city personnel guidelines that relate to remote work and use of digital technology to replace in-person presence. And the IG would have some latitude, but not much without a very clear argument or justification, rather, made to employee services and the chief administrative officer.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I did get the sense that people understood that this was like a nice fantasy and a hope and that it may never come to fruition, but I did open my door to whatever people wanted to share. And so that really was the only thing in the land of change that I heard about. And then when I asked for any other comments, anything people wanted to share, I heard about appreciation for the renovations. The team feels that the office feels more professional.
Congratulations.
Did you get money from?
I've seen it before and after. Congratulations on that one.
I only saw it after. I learned not to trip over that thing after the second time I tripped over it. But I hear there's going to be some kind of like thing put over it so I don't trip anymore. I don't know if you want to talk about this, Matt, but I heard that you have like a routine group meeting, and the team felt like that meeting fosters collaboration among the staff and like between teams, that people know what's going on. There's not siloed thinking. So people did appreciate that.
I think, Madam Chair, I can certainly speak to that. Every Wednesday we have a 9 o'clock meeting where all the different, the auditors, the investigators, myself, supervisors and the support staff all to get together and discuss all the cases that are going on in the office. And it's a collaborative opportunity for folks to either weigh in and offer their opinion on a way to better pursue something, or an opportunity for them to, you know, use their skill set to further an investigation. So it's just an opportunity for, it's a one team, one fight mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be kind of siloed into different, and there's some concern about, you know, the integrity of an office. audit versus investigation, but my philosophy was we're all working in the same office. We all have the same access to information, so there's no reason to segregate it out.
And it was appreciated by the team. The last thing that I heard, I think you referenced it in your evaluation. You said something about increasing the training budget.
Yes.
And I heard people talk about the facilitation of learning as a positive. So that was it was a great experience for me to go over to the office and talk to everybody. I enjoyed it. Encourage you to consider doing it as well. So what we have to decide right now is, do you feel prepared to do the evaluation today? And if so, we'll proceed. And if not, then I think we should schedule a meeting and make sure that we do it in the very near future. Or does it, I guess what I could say before that is there anything else you would have liked to have seen added to the recommendation around how we conduct the evaluation? Because I do think we should make some decisions about how evaluations are conducted in the future and maybe incorporate this always or something similar, or maybe you think my questions were lame and you wish I had asked other questions.
No, I think personally I'm ready to do it today. I think the fact that you're able to go over there and ask those questions and really get a lot of good feedback is positive. Mm-hmm. It definitely will influence the way, I guess, all of us will kind of like grade each one of these points. But I know that there's a certain deadline that Employee Services needs the evaluation in order to get it in time. So I just want to make sure we're not
going over that deadline. I appreciate you bringing that up. I think, and I'll look to you. I think that there's a grace period for the first evaluation, and then after it, it has to be annual. So I think we have wiggle room. Matt had shared a hope that the people who've been working with him this now year would be part of the evaluation team. So if we don't do it now, I would suggest that we consider, if that's important to us, that we do it before the end of June. I'm prepared either way. How about the rest of you? Are you prepared to do the evaluation today? Would you prefer to defer?
I'll speak. I am prepared to do it today. I'm not prepared to come to another meeting in the 20 wake-up calls that I have remaining to do office time in this building. So if you want my input, it's today or it's not. And I would add that I agree with the premise that this body has essentially selected Matt, worked with him now through a couple, you know, ups and downs that I think were resolved very well. So, and with the budget looming and some new changes, I think now's a good time to do a review. But I would offer any substantive change beyond what we do to the review process, whether it's timing or process itself, with at least three new members in very short order. I think any changes moving forward should be conducted after those seats are filled by the new folks.
Okay. I second those.
So you're ready to go?
Ready to go. And again, I'm termed out at the end of June. And so I will be, and I don't know, I had some responsibilities in Tallahassee that led me to get Julie Taylor, mm-hmm. who was at the time general counsel, and then she became judge. And then, so that was difficult for her to come over and do these. But I don't know what Judge Day's intention is, whether he intends to sit or send a designee. But we haven't gotten to that finer detail. We're herding other cats between now and then.
I hear that. So it's a go. Is it a go?
It's a go.
I know I won't be available through most of June.
Okay.
That's a more diplomatic way of saying what.
We appreciate your honesty. So it's a go. I wonder if a good way to start is to go through the items in the evaluation and see what questions you have for Matt about any or all of the items. Does that seem reasonable?
Yeah.
I tried to reflect on how we did it before, and this is what I think that we did before. So You'll recall that the evaluation is broken up into sections, and there's five possible ratings, from five for exceptional down to one for unacceptable, and we're to rate each section accordingly. And so there's core competencies. The first one is achieving results, and then there's elements of performance underneath it. And so the first one, measure one, is on page two. Demonstrates that the OIG investigations, audits, and contract oversight activities help improve program results, strengthen internal controls, improve efficiency and effectiveness of operations, and correct systemic weaknesses. And then Matt had comments that he made under the self-evaluation. So what do you guys have any questions for Matt about that section?
Not for measure one.
I have a process question. So this document, remind me, this document, we fill out scoring and everything today and leave it behind, correct?
Have you done your self-evaluation?
Yes, we have it here.
Okay. Right. So process-wise, I think I'm going to have to defer to you guys because I haven't been involved in the actual evaluation. I think you would do it as a group. Is that correct?
Yeah. So from my experience, I mean, the last time we did it.
I know, that's what I'm trying to do. My memory just went.
Yeah, we all, well, that's ironic. We're doing it better this time. Last time we just all sat in silence as we graded it, and then we averaged our scores together to get the final computation, and then we gave back the evaluations for the record.
Yes,
because
that's what I remember.
It's subject to public records.
Yes. So, yeah, we all have to score it, and then we average our scores. There's a table in the back, and I do think that they are preserved as public record.
One thing ahead, this may be skipping ahead, but I know the last thing we also have to do is also determine what the potential salary will be. I mean, is that part of this process, or is that a different time?
It can be part of this process.
Because I know it has to be submitted as part of the budget.
I don't know about the timing of the budget. Brian, can you share more wisdom with me?
Sure. So we are in the, we're about to have the Mayor's Budget Review Committee process begin throughout the month of June. We obviously have representatives of the mayor-elect. She will have to file her budget by the second week of July. Then City Council will have it until probably third or fourth week of September, and then it'll be concluded. So at any point in that process, so should we deal with the evaluation and want to table a compensatory discussion or deal with it, there still is time throughout the summer to make the budget adjustment related to that.
Okay.
True, but that wouldn't that also require us to have to meet again to make that determination? Because it's up to the committee to make the
Yeah, you would have to meet before the conclusion of the budget in mid to late September.
So is it fair to Ms. LaSalle to have potentially another group of people to determine?
I'm not advocating we do it one way or the other. I'm just letting you know that I was asked the timeline question.
I do have a thought about that. I'll put it out there for what it's worth, which is when the reaccreditation is coming very soon, and I might like to have that information. Is the office reaccredited? Did that go well? Did all the deficiencies be corrected? And then make a salary determination, but when do you anticipate that the reaccreditation of Christina?
It's August 8th, but it will be finalized, like voted at a committee like this, if we pass at the end of October.
Okay.
So after the budget starts.
So I'm going to, Brian, I am so glad you came today because I've got another question for you. As the chief administrative officer, if we decided the reaccreditation goes amazing and we decide we do want to increase Matt's compensation, assuming we don't do it right now, does
there's always room. The Mayor's Budget Review Committee can make adjustments. Some of those adjustments can be done without any additional input from council as long as it lives within the departmental budget. And if there's a number going outside of the budgeted pool, that can be taken as a pretty simple piece of legislation if it needed to. And Diane will correct me if she thinks I got that wrong.
I also, it's another one for you. I'm going to milk this until I see what starts.
I got 20 days.
18.
Especially if I keep thinking out loud. I'm working on it.
Okay.
It's. I'm remembering when we hired that.
Matt, for his salary.
I could be remembering wrong, but I thought he was already at the top of the pay grade, and I don't know how that is addressed. Isn't that correct? Isn't he at the max of the pay grade?
I don't think.
I don't have it as recollection that he's at the top of.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think we did the mid, a little bit above the mid grade, but I know we didn't go to the top when we decided his contract.
Because I just don't know.
Yeah, because I remember we
it's not at the top. Okay, so there's still wiggle room. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I don't know why I remember that wrong.
It's okay. Well, let me ask you this to kind of bring it into landing. We have two decisions. We can grade. We've already decided we're going to grade.
Yes, we did.
And then forego the conversation regarding compensation until potentially October, and then let whoever the next commission members are and the administration kind of deal with whatever increases they want to make. Or we can deal with the compensation today. But if we deal with it today, do we have the scale to decide what the increase should be based on the score? Because I know the salary has to be based on the score that we give.
I can get that information while you guys are scoring.
Okay. Because that's why I want to be fair, and if we go with the first approach, then it almost seems as if we're detaching his salary from the evaluation, because I know we're supposed to kind of have it all within the evaluation itself, unless we're kind of leaving it open until October.
It's hard to know the right path forward. Both options are good. I personally would like to have the accreditation completed to help me with that decision, but we can discuss it as a team. And
could I maybe, I'm going to eat the elephant a bite at a time. So if we're going to do the grading today, can we get through that?
And yes.
I was about to ask, because I'm not a great test taker, and this looks like it's a pretty tough test.
Okay.
I did have some questions about this material that we're subjectively grading here.
Okay, please go.
I see the core competency. Uh-huh. I see everything that he wrote.
Yes.
Reminds me of myself, just put as much as I can into it. But who set the expectations? So like when I see meeting expectations, above expectations, what is that standard? Is the standard, so we're basically going over if he sent us audits over, like I didn't come here prepared. I knew we were going to discuss it.
Okay.
I did not come here prepared to sit in the seat. I don't mind doing it, but I was always that fair teacher, mm-hmm. right? So I'll definitely be fair in my grading, but it may not be as thorough as you may warrant. So I'm trying to get an idea.
So there's a rating key, and starting in the middle, 3, meets expectation, means that Matt consistently meets and may occasionally exceed the performance expectation of the position.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go above that, above expectation is consistently meets and often exceeds the performance expectation. And then, of course, exceptional means consistently exceeds. And then below expectation would be...
You don't have to go there. Thanks, Professor.
No, you're welcome. That was one question. Did you have another question about the content of what Matt wrote?
Oh, no, I'm good on that. I was just trying to find that little note you had.
It's at the beginning. There you go. I highlighted it all.
I did have a question for
you. Okay, I do too, but you go first. Maybe we have the same one. Although I wish I had the same questions as you. You always have good ones.
Yep, good questions.
I'm not offended.
We're a team. We're working together.
Brian, I'm out in 20 days, too.
I never want to offend anyone. I'm the nicest person.
Well, too late.
I'll try to make it up to you.
On measure 2, and I could just be reading this wrong, but on measure 2 on your response, Mike, when it says, I think the second to last sentence, hashtag cleared, when it talks about since my arrival in March of 22, hashtag cleared, and subsequently all, was that meant to be a number? Or?
It is, and it's a, I have a number. So since I started, we opened a total of 267 cases and closed 257. We We opened 209 correspondence and closed 203. And the breakdown of those open cases, 58 management reviews and 54 of those were closed.
Okay. What was this on the first numbers you said, 272 or 77?
267 open, 257 closed.
Got it.
267 okay. Opened and
257 closed.
And of the 200, we're kind of getting ahead. I have another question, but for that question, of the 267 that were open, were all of those open since you came in March? Or
that is correct, since March
1. Okay. So there's just a few left open at this moment in time?
Correct.
Or
transitory.
Did you have a follow-up question or anything else? In the first bucket where you're talking about, core competency one, measure one on page two, you're talking about improving efficiency, effectiveness of operations, correcting systemic weaknesses. And it's going to come up in another question, so I might as well ask it here. Can you talk at all about the return on the investment of the Inspector General Office? And thank you.
But return on investment, as you all know, is very hard to calculate. Question like this, for example, the cop on the street corner, how do you measure the investment of that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a deterrent factor, obviously. Does crime go down? Does crime go up? And does that measure the effectiveness of having that policeman on the street corner? So in relation to this, I can identify investigations that we've done where fraud was uncovered and the amounts of that fraud. But again, I can't calculate the deterrent factor of us prosecuting folks who committed fraud against the city. I can't calculate, every time I produce a report, someone sees it and says, someone's looking at this, I better not do this again. So I can't calculate the actual return on investment in its totality. I can certainly tell you dollars and cents in terms of the investigations that we've taken on this year, the amount of fraud we've discovered. I can give those to you in dollars and cents, but in terms of the actual return on investment, I think that's for the city really particularly.
Will you share some dollars?
There's one investigation involving rental assistance fraud. It's $215,000. We have other cases involving mortgage and utility fraud. It was $30,000. We have cases involved with JEA, misuse of government equipment. Again, how do I calculate that? We've had cases involving infrastructure protection where we identify weaknesses within the city's computer systems. So by preventing access to those computers, what can we prevent in terms of the liability for the city? The same thing with insurance carrier fraud. I mean, there's 200-something cases where the city benefited from an investigation that was conducted by us, whether it was tangible dollars and cents or whether it had a deterrent effect or a process improvement effect, I can't articulate the exact cost.
Mm-hmm.
What benefit to the city in terms of dollars and cents?
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
I would just augment that as, you know, if any member of this committee, I think my position sort of interacts a bit more with the IG. And then I would say, again, you can't put dollars and cents there, but I will tell you that Matt, unlike any of the predecessors that I was working with, very early on sought out a chance to build relationships with all of the department staff, the key staff of departments. He asked for an invitation, was given, he comes once a month to a mayor's office director's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And by, again, it's incalculable, really, but by interfacing in a more proactive way with our departments, I can only tell you, I know that our processes get better through that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what that amount is, but just the sheer fact of proactively seeking that out, having the opportunity and demonstrating a mutual respect with the people who run departments with very large budgets, I think has been very beneficial.
Thank you. Any follow-up questions on that one? Okay. So measure three ensures the OIG receives initial accreditation through the Commission for Florida Law Enforcement. So any questions about that?
So is that the same pending accreditation that we'll deal with and then know we in the royal we? Okay. So at this point, you're telling the committee that's all on track, it's the process?
Everything is on track. So okay. The process as it stands right now is correctly from Ron Christine on dates. But when's the mock?
July 10th.
July 10th, we have a mock assessment, meaning someone from the accreditation team comes in with a mock assessment and basically does the front loader of make sure we're on the track. All the documents pertaining to our accreditation are loaded on DMS. So the accrediting body already has our documents, so they're already in the process of reviewing our documents. So the mock is just a kind of a last stop to make sure everything's in order. And then we have a full assessment team that comes in on August 8th, and that's where it can be scheduled. We have the confirmation letter that it's good to go. I don't anticipate any issues because it's a checklist kind of thing, and either you have it or you don't. And we're at the point now where we have it. We did have deficiencies identified when I first came on, and based on the accreditation standards, we had to self-identify those deficiencies, which we did. So it's a formal letter to the accrediting body to say, we didn't do this, we didn't do this, we didn't do this, and then we corrected it. So during this accreditation process, that correction piece will be part of the process by self-identifying. We're perfectly on track.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the reason I asked for the question, if I can take a moment, Madam Chair, that yeah. is just the idea that I'll just lay it out there. I'm maxing out in all of the criteria but this one, and I'm going 4 out of 5 on this, and no reflection other than I'm going to leave that point so then in the next evaluation he can point back to that it was pending. So with the uncertainty of that, I don't think it's enough uncertainty to ding it more than one or to delay this process, but it demonstrates that we needed that final step and that it gives him the opportunity to point back, he and his staff, to point back to it as proof in the pudding.
Thank you. Core Competency 1, Measure 4, ensures an audit peer review is conducted in accordance with auditing standards. I read what you wrote about this, Matt. Can you summarize it for me? Because it sounds like this is something that should be happening, but when you got to the office, it wasn't where it needed to be, and so now...
That's correct.
Say more about that.
So you're exactly correct. So when I took on the position and reviewing the requirements, it's required for this audit peer review to occur, but you have to be in good standing with the peer review organization prior to them doing it, and that has to be for 2 years. So we just joined the organization... The 2 year part, as I identified in April 24, is when we're eligible for our first peer review. This should have been going on since the beginning of when this organization stood up, this office stood up, but it was never done. So my corrective action was to join the organization and then to be on the schedule for April 24.
Thank you. Anybody else have any questions about that? Next up is Measure 5, issues a comprehensive fiscal year annual report. Okay, so does everybody want to take a moment to score these sections? So now we're up to the score for this core competency. I have to do math.
It's easier once you've done it before.
Yes.
There's more?
Oh, there's more. Jeez. There's a whole booklet.
You can work ahead.
There's 20 pages.
Can I get tonight to finish this?
I don't know the...
Because I don't think I'm going to make it for the rest of this one. I'm sorry. What do you want? You can finish without mine.
My brain is hurting about your question, so it's a really good question.
Yeah.
See? It's a good question. It's hurting my brain.
I could give a proposal for those who might want more or need more time. I've got mine done. Ryan's got his done. Because it's a complicated form that then you have to do it. Maybe allow them to make it a take-home test, so to speak. And we can leave it with staff, probably HR. Or, yeah.
Okay, let me think about that.
Okay.
I
was this sent to us before?
I'm going to wonder something out loud. I'd love to wonder.
It's okay.
I wonder if Mr. Freeman's evaluation would be more informed if he could hear the questions that we might ask about the other elements of the evaluation. So I wonder if he leaves, if how quickly the tape of the meeting would be available, that if he chose to listen, if like, because maybe we're going to ask amazing questions that would inform his process, and he'll miss out on that as he deliberates.
No, I got to comment to that.
Okay.
And thank you. If the numbers are still the same, if I have any questions, I'll just reach directly out to the sources, the same way you're asking the questions to them. But I can tell you right now, I was not processing your questions as I was reading and trying to do this myself. So it would take me a little bit of time to go through it. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. I deal with accommodations. I process things a little differently. And sitting at a table with a watch, with a time going, is not going to be the best way to get a thorough response from me, because I don't want to hold this group up. And I hope my 11-year-old daughter is watching this, because I always say that so that she doesn't fear admitting when she has some deficiencies. And so one of my accommodations is more time, to be honest
totally
with you.
Understand.
And so any noise going on around me, I'm not processing it. I'm so focused on the words and going back and following the structure that, for me, and I just texted my assistant, why didn't I get this ahead of time if it was presented to me? Because I would have shown up with it done, giving it the thought that it deserves when I know what it means for this evaluation to go into your records. So if you don't mind, I would really like to be able to spend some quality time with this and bring it in tomorrow. I mean, I'm going out of town Friday, but I'll have Jerry walk it over to HR tomorrow.
So, yes, please take the time that you need, and thank you for explaining that. And can anybody with a better understanding of government in the sunshine think of any reason why this is not okay? Like, if he turns this in tomorrow, and Christine is offering to receive it, but I'm not sure if it might be more appropriate to send it through employee services, because the school would have to be...
It's public record. Yeah, so I don't... Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, as long as you have everything documented as public record, I think you should...
All right. And I won't share my answers with anyone.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, there was electronic version sent out with the comments. So
yeah.
I had a chance to preview it. So.
No, I actually think the positive of what has just occurred here is that I'm going to update my recommendation for the orientation to kind of explain what you should expect when it's time to do the evaluation. It's reasonable to expect that the Inspector General will, with plenty of time, set, which you did. This is not you didn't do this. With plenty of time, you send it, and everybody has an opportunity to review it. And I think maybe that's something that would be helpful, in that I could have easily, like, emailed all of you some instructions, but that's not allowed. I can't communicate with you.
And, Madam Chair, I went over the agenda prior to coming here, and all I saw was sub item B, discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we decided today, I believe, during this meeting, that we were going to go forward with it.
That's fair.
Am I missing something?
No, I can't communicate better. All
right, because I'm trying to keep my ECA employed right now. So, because that's her job, is to make sure that I don't show up at meetings unprepared. Mm-hmm. And so I'm texting her left and right. Now she's responding. But she's right on this agenda, it says discussion. Mm-hmm. So, because she knows how I get about stuff like this. So that being said, I don't think you have to do anything extra, other than if we thought that there was an opportunity to do it, discussion, and possibly vote on, or like put that into the agenda, then those of us who live and die by these things in our calendars would be here prepared. But
yeah, please don't fire her.
No, Jerry's awesome. It's me.
Hot mic. She's gonna find out.
She's probably looking at it. I'll run it out here in a minute.
Okay. Okay. Where were we? We were up to scoring this section, and I was doing math. Oh, this is what's wrong with me. I can't do math. Okay. Did everybody score theirs and have better success with math than I did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry. That's only if it's audited. But we'll know.
Okay, so we're going to move on to business acumen, the second core competency, and measure one. Continuously assess risk in order to prioritize OIG resources on issues that are of critical risk and or have the greatest impact and usefulness to stakeholders. So anybody have any questions for Matt about this section? Thank you. Any questions for Matt? Next one after that is demonstrate relative costs and benefits in planning and conducting activities. This was another place where I was interested in hearing more about fraud, waste, and abuse, but I think you spoke to the limitations of exploring return on the investment. Does anybody have questions about this section? Okay. I'm sorry, I felt like you wanted to say something. I was wrong. Core competency number two, measure three, strengthens procurement processes by promoting consistency and best practices among government programs. Matt, I thought this was interesting about drafting legislation. Can you say a little bit more about that? What was that like?
Councilmember Cumber is, I think, the sponsor for this bill, and Lasekia Hodges, who's the general counsel attorney, also responsible for this bill, both came to me and asked me to participate in the discussion on draft this legislation. Because of, I had conversations with Lasekia about oversight and the integrity of the procurement process and the impact, you know, oversight has on that. So they inserted language into the code that really identifies what the role of the inspector general is, and it kind of codifies some of the requirements to provide better oversight for that process.
Thank you.
Thanks. Brian, a question? And this is ironic.
I asked him 20, so he'll
this quick. Would have been one of those questions I asked Terrence, too. Sorry, Mr. President. When I kind of did my review of the proposed legislation, I know it's kind of just been deferred from every committee so far. Some of the changes it really made is in regard to, like, the award process in terms of who the designees could be. And I know some of them are members of the mayor's staff. I was curious, did you have, I'll try to make this more succinct. If you have reviewed the proposed legislation, do you have any opinions about some of the changes that they've made to the procurement code?
The administration participated, the IG participated, the procurement chief and the finance administration, the CFO participated, and the administration's final posture has been for months while it's languished that we have are supportive.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Despite the drafters' unusually motivated comments in public just a couple weeks ago that implied that we were opposed to it as some political thing, that I had to go to a microphone and explain we've been for it, we're still for it. If it were passed while he was mayor, Mayor Curry would sign it. So.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Next up is develops an appropriate budget and requests appropriate changes consistent with operational needs. Anybody have any questions about the budget or anything Matt wrote in that section? Okay. Next up is measure five, engages in prevention and outreach activities, including but not limited to developing public awareness, and I'm going to just say blah, 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 because we can all read this. This is somewhat what you were talking about earlier, Brian, about outreach to other, and the office staff talked about that as well.
Just want to commend you particularly for that section, because I can tell you right now it's been my experience that we haven't had an IG that has been so proactive in terms of coming to different some of our commission meetings to kind of update us on certain things, so we do appreciate the fact that you did that.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we're on the last competency of this section, coordinates and reports dispositions of investigations that resulted in referrals to the state attorney or other law enforcement prosecutor agency or relevant administrative authority.
Yeah,
you developed a system for tracking referrals, and those metrics are in the report. What system did you, can you talk about the system for a moment?
In IGMS, the Inspector General Information Management System. It's our repository for all information. It's pretty little tracking thing in there to make sure we're tracking outside referrals.
I think I heard you say that IGMS earlier, but I didn't compute it. Okay, we have an anybody have questions about that that you want to ask? We have an opportunity to do the score again. Everybody ready? This is so much better for me. Okay, core competency number three. This is under leadership and internal relations. Produces high quality, timely, and relevant work products. Any questions? I have one. Where it talks about changes to the procurement code, the grant review process, the contract review process, infrastructure protection, licensing, and insurance requirements of employees, and bonus structure. Mm-hmm. Bonus structure around the city or within your office?
These are all reflective investigations that we conducted this year. The bonus structure one was we had an allegation that employees out of the aviation authority received improper bonuses. So what we did as a result of that is we reached out to all the independent agencies and all the departments within the city and asked them what their bonus structure or how they determine bonuses, and then put a baseline for what should be important for our statutes.
Thank you. Anybody else have questions? Okay. Measure two. Recruits, develops, and retains highly qualified and diverse workforce. I have a question about this section too, because you referenced significant turnover, and I wondered if you could say more about that and maybe tell me, since you started, how many people left and how many open positions you have.
So since I started, four left and we hired four, and we still have one vacancy.
Anybody else have questions?
How's the search going?
Good. In fact, we just brought Peter and paid Paul, but we took someone out of Mr. Grevy's.
And since Joey and I are both short timers, we don't care. That's not true, of course. I have a comment, if I
please.
Can just
here.
That back I have two things actually. Back on the compensatory investigation related bonuses, it's a really comprehensive look, and it's a very important look. Because I don't know if you've followed the news over the last 3 years, but there's some case that's been lurking out there about an independent authority and a bonus structure. So there was a lot of misunderstanding. There was some ordinance change by council as it relates to the independent authorities, and this what triggered this report was something that was a misunderstanding of what is and isn't allowed. And it's just very good. You know, it's another case where Matt's work and his capacity with his team to turn these around the way they were supposed to for and weren't for a while is that it's a good product, very responsive, timely to some misunderstandings, and available to the public to have a better understanding, not just in COJ but the independent authorities. As it relates to people, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the four since he's been here, it would be erroneous to say those are four that were a result of or was somehow attached to his leadership. I think those four are legacy departures that were still sort of playing out from previous stuff. That's all.
Diplomatically stated.
From someone who's not always known.
Well, customer service is going to be very important. I think it's at Starbucks next month. Number three, ensures the integrity of the OIG operations by maintaining effective quality assurance systems, and so on. I don't have any questions in this section. Did anybody else? Okay. Measure four, communicates to OIG staff members their priorities and the contribution their work makes towards fulfilling the mission. Sets annual goals, and so on. Any questions about that?
This end of the table's done. Is
that Anne? Sorry. We worked ahead.
He did.
I'm very impressed with your preparedness. I will say that I did go through and I highlighted everything and I scored almost everything, but I did not. I felt like I had some questions for Matt, and yeah. I wasn't prepared to finish. But I did do, I'd say, 90% of the work. So should I infer from that I should just kind of go through and find my own questions? You have no questions about any more of these elements, and it's just me.
I prepared mine with the thought you would ask questions.
All your questions do now is bring in the question my number.
Okay. Well, as long as I'm serving a purpose.
I thought that they have been insightful. And Mr. Hughes' comments as well.
They've been very helpful to me, yes. And I appreciate it. We're almost at the end. That might have been my last question. Let me look at measure two. I'm not sure what to do. Okay. So I'll let you know that I had like several that I just didn't grade until I heard the answer. So this was helpful to me. Now I'm doing more math. I think I heard a sigh about my math.
I'm asking staff to do the final math for me. End of the day fog has set in, and as soon as we're talking percentages and multiplication, it reminds me why I wasn't college material at 18.
If it makes you feel better, I had to have His Honor help me with my math as well.
Okay, so I'm up to the part where I need to do my final score and sign it, and you already are past me on that and have done that, so I'm going to catch up. What is the right answer? If everybody already has their total scores and want to record it, we won't have Mr. Freeman's score, so I don't know that we can completely finish today, but I can finish my math.
I literally can't do the math right now. I'm cooked. I have signed it to validate, and I put a initialed and scribble next to it, like, I would like staff to execute this math. And it's signed, and since the council president is going to return it through staff, I think we can, that should suffice, right, to conclude the process?
Yes, that would be my opinion.
It would leave open the result, but I think...
I think the final result, the number has always just been in the minutes itself, not the whole thing.
Well, I can work with Christina on the minutes as this process finishes itself up. I think, go ahead, Daniel.
No, finish your thought.
My thought was, I think since we are not finishing the scoring right now, we kind of answered our raise.
Well, I would ask Diane some questions that might help us feel better about that, and hopefully Matt won't leave here thinking those dirty dogs. The budget that we're going to hand off to the mayor-elect and she gets to own has as a function of collective bargaining the last year of the most recent negotiated structure, and it is a longstanding city policy that even that appointed personnel and personnel such as the inspector general, CAO, and others, have a minimum general employee threshold that they also get. So as it stands today, all personnel have a programmed raise, correct?
That's correct, with 2.5%.
Okay.
This is actually in the contract that if other appointed employees get it, you would get it as well.
Right. Okay, so so there is already a guaranteed compensatory bump, and then we were talking about ranges, and it exists, although they're public record, unless Mr. LaSalle wants to go into the exact number or someone else does, I'll let them do it. I choose not to do it. It's one of my beefs with Sunshine. Mm-hmm. But he is not at the max of the range as it exists today. There is still 20-ish. Left in the range. So even, and that number too will go up as a result of the budget process. So the cap. So unless Matt is absolute, I would say we know that a compensatory increase is going to default anyway. We have at least one member who's expressed, like, if we can understand the conclusion of the accreditation and at a meeting thereafter, and I've explained the process to you, it's with that range going up, it will be very possible for, even without city council doing it, for a potential raise agreed upon by the next version of this committee to be done without council, just simply done in a very localized mayor's budget review process. So for all those reasons, I would suggest the compensatory question can be left to post-accreditation, if that doesn't, those are the facts as I understand them. If we are led to a vote, let me know.
Can we get? I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but can you? Do you have an opinion about that? By the way, that definitely adds more context.
Other than what I stated in that, I wanted this board that I worked with for the last year have the opportunity to make that assessment. A new board coming in.
Not knowing how we're going to play this out, I certainly would be willing to share with whoever comes, because I'll be here till December, the will of these people and the next people to help them understand what my impressions are, or to the point of the orientation, make them listen to the tape of this meeting so they can get a sense of the flavor of the discussion. That's...
If we go with the approach that Mr. Hughes outlined, my only thing is, through your discussions through the transition, just making sure that the new administration knows that, so that way whoever ends up being the CAO is aware that that's what the pre-arrangement would be.
Absolutely.
I will.
That's helpful. That's probably more helpful than me carrying the message forward because you're the money guy.
And I think there's also value, again, I think the scoring having been completed and the positive result of the accreditation make an extremely strong case for regardless of how what they've known prior to that, the new members prior to them, I think a strong case would be made for an increase.
Thank you. So I need more smart brains to help me. We didn't really get to the end of the score, although we're all going to turn. Well, I didn't get to the end of the score. Mr. Freeman didn't get to the end of his score, but I'm almost there. So we're going to turn those over and let them be properly scored. Mr. Freeman's will be added. Is there anything to vote on about this at this moment?
If it would be better for the record, we could take that as a motion. We're identifying that the members of the committee have done the majority of the scoring. We're going to let staff do the final computation. That also gives Mr. Freeman, who had to leave early, the opportunity to complete his. And we will accept from staff the result of the scoring. Is that a motion?
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion?
You just have to make sure whenever they do the computation that you sign the last sheet. Because that has
signed the last sheet with everyone's
scores.
In it.
Scores, yes.
You'll get the final result.
I can come over to the office again. and I'll sign it. How about that? Okay. I'll be happy to do that. Thank you,
we
Daniel.
We clearly have the right person to
Can we get that trip hazard taken care of before that?
You have no idea. Have you been up there? It is deadly. I went... And I tried to pretend I did it on purpose, but
I can talk to Public Works if you need a boost.
It's definitely like employee services. It's definitely
What do we do with our?
I'll take it.
May I make another motion that I would hope would be reflected in the record?
Didn't really vote on the first.
Oh, that's
motion.
True. Good.
And normally I would ask for public comments, but I don't. It's like members of staff. Does anybody want to make a comment about our motion to hand over the evaluations and let the staff score?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nope. So now you can make it. So all those in favor of what we just said?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, go ahead.
Just to be very clear, so the record has a very clear attachment to it, I would propose a motion that with a strong and or favorable result to those mathematical calculations and the accreditation, that we encourage the next iteration of this board with new membership to strongly consider and understand it was in general terms favorably disposed towards having the compensation question today, and that but for a few things, this, I don't know, this is a motion, but somehow we have a vote that we have are acknowledging we didn't get to this question today, but strongly encourage the next iteration of this committee to do so.
The carryover people carrying the flag.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think you could. I would intend to tell my the person who takes my
successor.
The same thing. Couldn't find the word. He can't do math. I can't talk. He does math all day long, and I talk all day long, and we're out of it. I would tell that person the feelings I think of this. And you know, I think kind of off, you know, not off the record, but an aside is, I think a lot of people have seen where it was and where it is now. And I think that's something that should be imparted, I think, to any future board member.
So it's moved and
seconded.
Any further discussion? Daniel?
One question. It's been part of every IG contract as much as I can remember. There's always been also a component that if the IG becomes certified as a certified IG, that they also are entitled to a certain bump. Have you already received that already? Okay, cool. Just want to make sure.
You received the certification and the bump?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Any public comments before we vote? All those in favor of conveying the spirit of this meeting with regard to a salary increase to the next iteration of the board, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I assume nobody's opposed. I heard all the ayes. Okay. Any other motions, any other business you guys can think of that need to be addressed?
Madam Chairman, I don't have a forum otherwise, other than this, to thank Brian for his service to this committee. We have been through a lot over the years, searches, evaluations, and whatnot. And so I want to thank him for his service, particular knowledge to this committee, and also for your service, and so far as my office is concerned, on budgetary issues, maintenance issues, everything. So thank you, and I wish you well.
Thank you, Judge.
I second that. Very much so. It's been a delight working with this administration.
I was going to wait to MBRC.
See, that's
going to be more sorrowful as we get closer to the end.
Waiting until then may be a tactical error on your part.
I did my best work at the last moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was
never
lovely.
Miss an opportunity. It was.
Thank you.
Move we adjourn.
We are so close. There's no public comments, right?
Yeah.
So yes. So moved, if I can. We're adjourned. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day, everybody.
Appreciate you, sir.